945 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Despite Ukraine's Zelensky appearing in person to plead with Congress for more military assistance, it appears there'll be no deal before the holidays.
Republicans won't approve the new aid package unless the president agrees to tough new immigration restrictions. The president says he's willing to compromise.
Holding Ukraine funding hostage in the attempt to force through an extreme Republican partisan agenda on the border is not how it works.
It is not clear what is going to satisfy Republicans' immigration demands or where the president is willing to compromise.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Inflation continued to cool last month. The Labor Department's Consumer Price Index rising just 0.1% from October to November, 3% for year-to-year comparison. New Jersey Attorney General Matt Platkin sued three firearms dealers, asserting two of them tried to sell ghost guns that don't have any serial numbers, with a third illegally storing guns that were visible from outside the store. This is ABC News. Tis the season. There's a list of metropolitan areas that are the worst for porch pirates.
Security system ratings company Safewise finds that Seattle-Tacoma has a higher rate of package theft, followed by Memphis and then San Diego. 71% of the stolen items had a value under $100, but if you add up the total losses nationwide, $6 billion worth of stuff has been grabbed off of front porches in 2023.
ABC's Jim Ryan. I'll pass on this one, thank you.
Doritos has teamed up with Danish distiller Empirical to create a new vodka made with the flavor, yep, of those nacho cheese Doritos. A press release on the snack-infused spirit suggests the vodka smells and tastes just like the real thing. The limited edition boozy cheesy drink is available this week and just in time for the holidays. The vodka flask costs more than a bag of Doritos, about $65 retail. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
I'm Richard Cantor. To ABC News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents is going for a do-over on a vote to unfreeze money for pay raises and building new buildings. They had rejected a deal between System President Jay Rothman and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on Saturday. The Board of Regents will meet again Wednesday to vote on the same deal. In exchange for the money, the system would repurpose over 40 positions related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Republican leaders on Tuesday said that the four unconfirmed regents could see their jobs on the line regardless of how they voted on Saturday. Governor Evers is encouraged by the possibility of more Amtrak service in Wisconsin. The state is getting $2 million from Washington to study increasing passenger train opportunities from the Twin Cities to Chicago up to the Fox Valley. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers lose in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Giants march down the field with just over a minute left to beat Green Bay 24-22. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
You get a Monday night game and a big stage, and ultimately you got to do it on game day.
Giants quarterback Tommy DeVito on keeping calm in just his fourth NFL start.
Of course, I think as a quarterback, you have to stay even keel through it all, you know, because when you're winning like we are now, everything is high, and when you lose, everything's low. So as a quarterback, you have to be able to stay even through it all. I take pride in that. Something that I've grown over, obviously, over time from when I was playing, from when I was five, throughout high school and college, just continuing to grow that part of my game.
NBA, the Bucks at home beat the Bulls in overtime, 133-129. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard with only 14 points, not one of his better nights.
You know when you get to that point where, like, shots you usually make aren't going in, you miss a one that you feel like is easy, you know, you miss a free throw and you're like, man, it's one of those nights.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
A few flurries possible at times. Overnight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to around 11. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 34. Lows level off around 22 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 17.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, I'd like to call this the Rojo's Wrong edition. Or just another Tuesday here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Right. It's often that Senator Rojo, Ron Johnson is Ron Crudy. Good to see you. Nate, thank you. Our fair audience, thanks for tuning in.
Tom, we're going to turn a little less political at the bottom of the hour, 4:30. Our friends, Cass Riddle and I believe her daughter, coming from Santa's Without Chimneys. And, you know, I don't do a lot of charity work. You know, I'm just not charitable. Kind of like you.
Oh, come on.
You Scrooge, but anyway.
Community service. When ordered by the judge, Crudy, I know you'd follow through with that, right?
Can't talk about that on the radio. Here's the only good deed I try to do each year, and that is support Santas Without Chimneys, because they are the ones that give Christmas presents to homeless kids. And we're going to catch up with Chaos 9 years ago today, the first time we did this on the air.
Wow.
So this is my favorite cause. And, you know, it's about the only damn good deed I do all year. So today's all your right. day.
Today's the day. Mark it on the calendar. Chaos coming at 4. What time?
4:30. Chaos Riddle.
Santa's Without Chimneys. Awesome. Look
and
forward to
the
catching up.
Solidarity Realty Mad Radio 92.7 FM studios right here in Madison with me, Dom. Also, Dom, you know, the speaker, Mike Johnson, this guy, getting to know more about this guy.
Mega Mike.
He is going to lecture us later in the show. We've got the sound, the speaker lecturing us on what a real impeachment should look like. Not like the sham impeachment, the political impeachment of the last guy, question mark?
The perfect phone call or the perfect insurrection or both?
Or both, you know, but they got a plan. If they could only get the votes for an impeachment action or whatever they're calling it, then they could get the subpoenas. And then Dom, here's the plan. Then they're going to find some evidence. And then they'll be able to impeach Joe Biden.
It's like the underwear gnomes, man, right? Step one, steal underwear. Not sure on step two, but step three is profit. Definitely profit.
But shouldn't there be actual clear allegations supported by evidence before you go to the impeachment process? Now,
I mean, there's all sorts of allegations, Curdy. Those are easy to find.
You got
to
evidence. infer the evidence, Tom.
Yeah, a little harder to find. But also on that same topic, perhaps we'll get there as well. Apparently, you know, no big deal that Donald Trump took in lots of money while a president from overseas sources. I wonder what Mega Mike has to say about those issues.
We'll save that to the happy hour. Let's start closer to home. Let's start with Ron Johnson, Rojo, your buddy, former friend of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
My buddy.
Rojo's wrong today, Dom, and that's not an uncommon happening. You know, Rojo's been wrong before, but we can prove Rojo's wrong. He went on the CNN. That's his first problem, Tom. He went somewhere where it wasn't hosted by Maria Bartiromo or one of the Foxy News people. You know, if you go out in front of a real journalist like Caitlin Collins, and I know you like her. We met her first at the Orpheum Theater, a Bernie Sanders event back in like early 2016. But she's moving up in the world, Dom, and she's a damn good journalist.
Oh, that's
Rojo was not ready.
When Trump came to town, what northern town we were at in Wisconsin when Trump was running. You remember?
Were we up at the Mosinee Airport?
Yeah, there you go. Mosinee. Thank you for that. Yes. I do like Caitlin Collins. Yes, we've seen her.
She's very good. Let's play the sound of Caitlin Collins interviewing the Rojo, the aforementioned U.S. Senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, on the CNNs.
Sells out of a nuisance lawsuit. They agreed to settle a nuisance lawsuit that never should have been brought.
So you think it's fine that someone...
It's a harassment lawsuit. It's a travesty of justice.
You think it's fine that someone who tried to overturn a legitimate election is still on a board?
Democrat electors have done that repeatedly. Democrats have done...
Which
Democrats
one?
Have done the same thing.
Republicans
have tried to criminalize
it. Fake slates of electors?
No, it's happened in different states.
I didn't come prepared
to give you the exact states, but it's happened repeatedly. It has happened repeatedly. Just go check the books.
Which books?
I mean, there have been alternate slates of electors by Democrat electors in our history. Again, this wasn't what this interview is going to be about. I'll come and I'll provide you the information, but I'm
okay,
absolutely
I look forward to your office sending that information. We'll publish it if it's accurate. Senator Ron.
If it's accurate.
If it's accurate, if it's correct, if it's real.
Tom, it might lack some context. And is he going to mail over the whole book? Some people.
It's the books. You just got to check the books. I mean, it's obvious. Everything's in the books, man.
I think Ron's got two sets of books.
Yeah.
Anyways, Tom, unless it's in the Bible, I don't know what he's referencing because, of course, you hear many allusions to what the Hawaii circumstance in the election between Nixon and Kennedy, 1960, I believe that was. And the differential in the vote was 141 statewide in the vote count. And in fact, they had not canvassed the vote. There were still many questions about the validity of the count. And there were two slates of electors that would put up. But they did that fully transparently, Dom.
Yeah.
Here's what I did know. I did not know in 1876, there were alternative electors offered down south as well. There was a contested election. Tilden Rutherford B. Hayes. So, you know, he's pulling out his 1876 book, perhaps.
All right.
Some of this history I had to learn just to educate myself to find out, does Ron have a valid point? And I would say after, you know, doing some Googling, Dom, he does not. Down south, South Carolina, 1876. South Carolina was one of three southern states that quickly became disputed after the popular vote had been cast in November. Florida and Louisiana were the other two. The Republican candidate, Rutherford Hayes, needed all three of these states for an electoral college victory, whereas Samuel Tilden needed just one. And Tilden's position was strongest in Florida. In fact, an honest count of the ballots would have shown Tilden the state's winner. His party, State of Electors in Florida, also met on a congressionally designated day for all electors in every state to cast their electoral college votes. But unlike in South Carolina, as we shall focus on momentarily, I'm not going to focus on South Carolina. Tilden's Florida electors were backed by an official of the state's government, Florida Attorney General, a Democrat who purported to certify Tilden the winner of the state. On the same day, however, Republican electors in Florida voted for Hayes, backed by the certification from the state's cabinet board that Hayes had won the state, and in parentheticals it says, as a consequence of the board's dishonest counting of the ballots. Later, Florida's judiciary and legislature would act to undo the canvassing board's certification in favor of Hayes. An additional documentation of Tilden's popular vote victory in the state would be sent to Congress to supplement the Attorney General's initial declaration of this result. Now, I'm sourcing just security here, and this piece is written by the head of constitutional law at the University of Ohio State, the Ohio State Law School. I'll get to the author's name in just a minute. So he goes through this historical context and maybe, you know, trying to give the full benefit of the doubt. Maybe this is what Rojo meant. This Tilden, Rutherford B. Hayes thing down south, and they were contested. And ultimately, the Elections Commission found that in South Carolina, there had been completely fake electors sent. South Carolina, they just went out and said, we cast for this guy. You know, much like the, let's say, the fake Trump electors in the 2020, right? Well, anyways, the law school professor, this constitutional law professor over at Just Security, tries to, you know, see if there's enough analogous information here about whether or not there should be prosecutions. And this is the part I'd like to maybe bring to the attention of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who might need a good criminal effing defense attorney. I'm just saying. I'm going to bring this piece to conclusion if I could. Consequently, one can take the position that the perpetrators of the big lie, knowing that it was false and knowing that they could not prove otherwise, deserve criminal prosecution for the entirety of their conspiracy to defraud the United States of the correct outcome of the 2020, which is a proposition different from arguing that the individual submission of electoral votes on behalf of Trump was itself a criminal offense. So it's not so much the individual electors. They might have been duped, part of this. Just hang with me a little bit longer here. Indeed, some of these individuals willing to submit electoral votes on behalf of Trump may be more appropriately viewed as victims of the big lie conspiracy to defraud the electoral process rather than the perpetrators of the conspiracy. Which side of the line any particular individual is on should be seen as based on the specific facts concerning the individual's involvement with the big lie claims. If, for example, the chair of a state party, think Wisconsin, a person who was actively coordinating with members of the Trump campaign to knowingly convert that falsehood that Trump had won the election into congressional proceedings that would ratify that fraud, then there is a case that that individual to be considered part of the overall plot. But if someone simply signed an alternative state of electoral votes, having been falsely told by others that there was grounds for claiming that the Trump rather than Biden won the state, and in the hope, although far-fetched, that the courts or state authorities would later recognize them as such, then this particular individual was amongst those defrauded by the big lie conspiracy. So how much you knew determines whether or not you are a victim or a criminal. But my understanding is the senator from the great state of Wisconsin was a willing participant in the big conspiracy, Dom, the big lie. He knew Joe Biden didn't win the state of Wisconsin. He did the math, right? 51,000 less votes for Trump than there were for legislative Republicans
he
in the state of Wisconsin.
Doing the math, explaining why Donald Trump did not win and down ticket Republicans did. He knew. He went against it anyway. I got more on this topic. Rojo, the subject matter. Join us 844-967-2789.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The big and tall of political talk, the devil's advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the 420 break. You can join us on the lines today at 844-967-2789. Crudy talking about Ron Johnson and his interview. Caitlin Collins at CNN. Nate, I know we played it once. Let's play it one more time. I really love the awkward silence that Ron Johnson finds himself in when he can't answer the question or won't answer the question. Play that one more time. I got a piece I want to reference as well, please, Nate.
Sells out of a nuisance lawsuit. They agreed to get to settle a nuisance lawsuit that never should have been brought.
So you think it's fine that someone...
It's a harassment lawsuit. It's a travesty of justice.
You think it's fine that someone who tried to overturn a legitimate election is still on a board?
Democrat electors have done that repeatedly. Democrats have done...
Bob Spitzer.
Democrats have done the same thing.
Republicans
have never tried to criminalize
it. Fake slates of electors?
No, it's happened in different states.
I didn't come prepared
to give you the exact states, but it's happened repeatedly. It has happened repeatedly. Just go check the books.
Which books?
I mean, there have been alternate slates of electors by Democrat electors in our history. Again, this wasn't what this interview was going to be about. I'll come and I'll provide you the information, but
I look forward to your office sending that information. We'll publish it if it's accurate. Senator Ron.
The most generous reading on this I can possibly give is the Tilden Rutherford B. Hayes 1876, and apparently there were some false votes cast. Electors cast from South Carolina, they were disallowed, and technically nobody was prosecuted back then. But then the very writer of the article, who is the head of the Constitutional Law Division at Ohio State University, claims that this is different. This action is different. And Edward B. Foley, Dr. Foley, thinks that the 2020 participants, those that were in on the greater lie, that knew that this was not the truth, they should be prosecuted, Tom. Nuisance lawsuits. Sounds a little Trumpian, doesn't he?
He certainly does these days. Fox 5 Atlanta back in August. Of course, Fani Willis, Fulton County DA going after those false electors. Again, this has been a topic. This Ron referenced it, so let's get to their piece. Three big differences between the 1960 Hawaii electors and the 2020 Georgia Trump electors. I'm going to jump into the piece. Three big issues. One, secrecy. Hawaii's first presidential election as a state was a nail biter. So close. The governor first certified Richard Nixon as the winner over John Kennedy by 141 votes. Very close. Both parties decided to send their own slate of electors to Congress. They did it openly. Trump electors originally did not. They gathered in room 216, again, this is Georgia, hoping no one would even know why they were there. According to this week's indictment, then state GOP Chairman David Schaefer organized the meeting. He sent a text to individual four. Listen, tell them to go straight to room 216 to avoid drawing attention to what we are doing, quote unquote. Robert Sinners, the Trump campaign Georgia director for Election Day operations, emailed the alternate electors asking for their, quote, complete discretion. At no point should you mention anything to do with the presidential electors or speak to the media. The meeting was only exposed after independent news commentator George Chidi poked his head through the door. He said they told him it was an education meeting. It was plainly not an education meeting, he said. Sinners eventually testified to the January 6th committee and the Fulton Special County Purpose Grand Jury. I didn't know at the time that had been, you know, the kind of shadow strategy, he told the January 6th investigators. And we were kind of useful idiots or rubes at that point. Sinners said he felt ashamed to be a part of the scheme. What they did was a little different than Hawaii in that they, like I said, schemed and planned this without the public's knowledge, said J. Tom Morgan, the former DeKalb County DA. So, secrecy, one big difference. Another big difference, recounts. Hawaii had not finished a partial recount by the time both parties decided to choose their electors. But on the day Trump electors met, Georgia had already counted its ballots not once, but three times. At the end of each, Joe Biden was still the winner. And the third big difference, the false allegation of fraud. Neither party suggested wrongdoing in the Hawaii vote count. In Georgia, Trump lawsuits have been routinely dismissed for lack of evidence or standing. Two appeals were pending before the U.S. Supreme Court at the time Schaefer gathered his electors. That's the reasoning Schaefer gave reporters on the day of the meeting after the true reason for the gathering was made public. Because the president's lawsuit contesting the election had not been decided or even heard, we held this meeting to preserve his right, Schaefer said. If we had not held the meeting, then this lawsuit, his lawsuit would have effectively been mooted. Both Trump's lawsuits were dismissed by the U.S. Supreme Court. Hawaii's governor eventually certified Kennedy as the state's winner by 115 votes, and that's whose slate of electors was chosen by the man who would finish second to Kennedy in the race, Vice President Richard Nixon.
Dom, I'd like to update the Wisconsin example, because Caitlin Collins was questioning specifically why Bob Spindell is still a Wisconsin elections commissioner if he was a fake elector. And Sarah Godlewski, the Secretary of State, called publicly, and it became national news, that Bob Spindell should go. I think we featured that similar theme here on the show yesterday. Bob Spindell must go as a Wisconsin elections commissioner. But you remember when Patrick Marley, before he was with the Washington Post, he was with the Journal Sentinel.
Yeah.
Do you know a false Wisconsin elector went on a podcast in 2022 and described the scene of the day? Here's the headline from the Journal Sentinel at that time. Wisconsin Republicans who posed as electors met in a secret location, brought armed security with them. Here is how it was reported. Wisconsin Republicans who posed as presidential electors in 2020 met secretly for an hour before filling out official looking paperwork at the state capitol and were accompanied by armed security, according to one of the participants. The account, given a year ago in a podcast by would-be elector Bill Feehan, provides one of the most detailed descriptions yet of the meeting that is now being scrutinized by federal prosecutors and by the U.S. House Committee investigating last year's riot at the U.S. Capitol. Here's how Feehan describes the scene. I left my house a little after 8 o'clock and drove to a secret meeting place in Madison and met all the other electors there. There was security, armed security, to protect us. And other officials from the Republican Party of Wisconsin were there. He said in a podcast, it's all super secret for security reasons. So we met in a secret location. We made it for almost an hour before they took us to the state capitol. Republicans viewed secrecy for the meeting in Wisconsin and other states as important, according to legal memos from Donald Trump's campaign that were made public Wednesday by the New York Times. It might be preferable for them to meet in private, if possible, to thwart the ability of protesters to disrupt the event, according to attorney Kenneth Cheesebro. In a January 9th, 2020 memo, the memo, like one written 3 weeks earlier, was directed to James Troupas. We've heard that name so often, Dom.
Oh, yeah.
The former Dane County judge who oversaw Trump's legal operation in Wisconsin as he pursued recounts and legal challenges to Joe Biden's victory in the state. That supposed nuisance lawsuit that Ron Johnson referenced? Well, Cheesebro, who apparently, according to CNN, is now cooperating with Wisconsin prosecutors. We haven't confirmed that independently. And Jim Troupas. They are still defendants. Just because the others settled, Ron, right. They didn't let the big fish off the hook. And I would wonder.
Oh, the civil case still goes against Cheesebro.
I would wonder if somewhere deep down, someone's evaluating Ron's participation. A prosecutor of some sort. One must
can only hope.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. You know, we like to keep it real up in here. We've got some fine guests joining me in studio next here in the Solidarity Realty Mad Radio 92.7 FM studios. Chaos Riddle, she is with Santa's Without Chimneys. They do excellent work. They provide hope and gifts to homeless children at the holidays. Stick around, more Devils.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Despite Ukraine's Zelensky appearing in person to plead with Congress for more military assistance, it appears there'll be no deal before the holidays.
Republicans won't approve the new aid package unless the president agrees to tough new immigration restrictions. The president says he's willing to compromise.
Holding Ukraine funding hostage in the attempt to force through an extreme Republican partisan agenda on the border is not how it works.
It is not clear what is going to satisfy Republicans' immigration demands or where the president is willing to compromise.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Inflation continued to cool last month. The Labor Department's Consumer Price Index rising just 0.1% from October to November, 3% for year-to-year comparison. New Jersey Attorney General Matt Platkin sued three firearms dealers, asserting two of them tried to sell ghost guns that don't have any serial numbers, with a third illegally storing guns that were visible from outside the store. This is ABC News.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin property taxes are expected to see its largest increase since the Great Depression next year, though most homeowners probably won't feel it. That's according to the nonpartisan research group, the Wisconsin Policy Forum. The total property tax jump will come out to almost 5%, but two state tax credits included in this year's state budget will bring down how much homeowners actually pay. All three of Wisconsin's veterans' homes are getting federal grants through the state to hire nurses and keep them on the job. The grants to the long-term care homes in King, Union Grove, and Chippewa Falls add up to almost $733,000. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says Wisconsin has been losing nurses at almost twice the rate as the rest of the country. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
The Todd Almost Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A few flurries possible at times. Overnight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to around 11. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 34. Lows level off around 22 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 19.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like this working with us at Civic Media?
We're
having
AM,
fun
WBZH.
And moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
the devil's advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Just a plain old Tuesday around here when Rojo's wrong. But it is the only day of the year we allow Christmas music. A little PTSD after they shut off the old station with Christmas music. The occasion. We've got two fine people here in the Solidarity Realty Studios with me. We've got Corey Cronson and Chaos Riddle. And they're here from Santa's Without Chimneys. And it was 9 years ago today, I think, the first time we had you guys in studio. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So Santa's Without Chimneys. I love this organization. It's a nonprofit. I looked you up, 501c3. And the work you do is to provide hope and presents to homeless kids at Christmas time, at the holidays. And I can't think of a nobler act. I'm going to start with you, Cass. You're a snowplow driver, a municipal snowplow driver here in Madison. And I've heard you say it in the past. You know where the homeless people live. So many of them are residing in vehicles, are they not?
Yes. And actually, I retired. So
so now you're just a Santa Without Chimneys full time because I've seen you working hard, sister.
Every day I'm there anywhere from 12 to 14 hour days.
And this is the busy season.
Right now it is, yeah.
Now, Cass, let's talk about what is going on right now. I was at your, let's call it, facility / toy factory on Sunday, and you guys were having shifts of volunteers come in, and you were wrapping presents, and a lot of the presents were for children, homeless children, that may not have any other signs of hope here at the Christmas time. And not only was it hopefully some age-appropriate toys, some inexpensive gifts, but also things like gloves and mittens and blankets and the necessities of life. It was great to take part. And it's got to be a full-time job just coordinating the shifts, the wrappers, the elves.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, you know, we get a lot of sponsors. We've had the most amazing sponsorship this year. I want to say, what do you think, Corey? About 3/4 at least have been sponsored?
Yeah, something like that.
And when they're not sponsored, we, of course, pull off our shelves. We operate on very little money.
No, I'm not implying anything other than that.
We're proud of the fact that we operate on very little money.
Well, it's clear to me that this is a good cause, and these are certainly kids that deserve something at the holidays, don't all kids?
Yes.
Corey Cronson from Santa's Without Chimneys here in our studio with us. Corey, where did the idea to serve this community come from?
So it was really my mom. It started with her. My aunt gave her a bag of toys, and she's like, do something with these. And she did. She just came up with this idea and worked with some of our other people, Autonomous Solidarity Organization at the time, and worked with the social workers and the TEP program and made this thing happen that first year. And it's been growing ever since.
Well, it's got to be a decade or more. I see from your website that 555 area children received gifts last year from Santa's Without Chimneys.
We're way over that this year.
That's a lot of kids. That is a lot of people in need. How do you help identify? Go ahead.
There's actually more than that. Way more. It's just that we're getting the ones that would get absolutely nothing.
If they don't qualify for like Toys for Tots.
Or the parents can't make it to Toys for Tots. Mm-hmm. Plus we take unaccompanied youth. So we take teenagers too.
And tell people what that means. I had not been thoughtful enough to think through that circumstance. But on Sunday, I noted they were talking about a couple of backpacks for teenagers. I thought there were 13 or 14-year-olds mentioned. These are effectively kids that have been kicked out of their houses at the holidays.
Yeah, they're couch surfing for whatever reason. We pack completely differently for them. You know, they're going from place to place to place. So we want to give them more food cards. On the weekends, where are they going to get a hot meal? School's closed. They go anywhere, they're going to get kicked out. If we give them McDonald's food cards, free Wi-Fi, they're not going to get kicked out and they get a hot meal. So works out really well. But we have, what was the number? I think 40 unaccompanied youth enrolled in our system. Mm-hmm. And I want to say about, I'm not sure how many are actually ours. So we actually were able to expand this year because of the sponsorship. We took about how many from Sun Prairie, Corey? Was it 20?
Something like that. I think about 20 from Sun Prairie, Monona, the couple Middleton, outliers, Middleton.
Cottage Grove.
So currently we're at 737 this year.
Wow. 300
and families.
We still got some more in the queue that are going to get put on the list.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got Corey Cronson and Chaos Riddle. They're here representing Santas Without Chimneys. And this nonprofit group, they distribute gifts and blankets and socks and gloves and hats and probably most importantly, hope.
So yeah, we try to find out their three wishes. Of course, we can't always get their three wishes.
Sure.
And we'll go off the hobbies. So they are for sure getting three gifts that are just, you know, art supplies or it depends on the age of the kids, but the teens will give them like axe or something like that, you know, that they need to be able to shower and smell good.
I noticed I had the opportunity to wrap gifts for little kids. And there was a little boy, a little over a year approximately, and he got little cars.
Yeah.
And nothing with too small of wheels or anything. And we were asked, you know, check for safety. And you know, I used to be a dad of a young one. I am looking out for parts I could see snapping off. And then like a little plush toy with no eyes, no parts that could be chewed off. And then I got the little bit older child that I got to wrap for. And it was, you know, I'm looking for the Santa paper, you know, because these kids still believe in Santa. And
I still believe in Santa.
She is Chaos Riddle. She is Corey Cronson. They are here from Santas Without Chimneys.
Appreciate everything you guys do, but I can't believe it's been really this long that this has been going on. Just logistically, how again do you collect the names of those who will receive it? How does that happen? And then how does the ramp up start? What kind of time frame does this ever stop? Is there a wind down? I'm curious to know those kind of logistical parts.
Well, as far as the winding down, we generally wind down right after, as Christmas ends.
Yeah.
The hope, if anybody out there has a permanent spot for Santas Without Chimneys, we want to expand. We'd love to do year-round birthdays and everything. It's really been a struggle every single year to find a place that'll take us in. And Santas Without Chimneys is homeless, folks. So we couch surf every year. And then
the children, we get them through the transitional
education program.
I can never
program.
Say it right.
And what's that mean, Corey?
So that is the service that the Madison School District provides to identify and assist anyone who falls within the McKinney-Vento Act, which is essentially the Homeless Act. And they provide services for making sure kids stay in the schools that they want to be in, whether it's, you know, a cab way across town or what have you. And they provide school supplies, that just everything that they can to make sure that the children succeed in school.
And literally some of these families live in cars. I just can't imagine how you keep your life in a car and keep your kids in a car and keep them warm in a car.
We have 15 families in cars right now that we know of. I don't know the ages of their kids. And it is not easy. You have to think differently. You're only keeping what's in your trunk. People think, oh, let's give them a food cart or something like that. Well, yeah, that works great for a hot meal for, like, you know, if you do the deli, which is really expensive. But living out of a car, you can't cook. So when we pack for those people, we pack completely different. I know how to make little heaters with the plants.
The pots.
Yeah, the pots. Mm-hmm. Those heater buddies. We'll try to get those. We give them extra blankets, things like that.
I just want to say to my mom, Chaos is my mom, and she's speaking from experience. You know, we experienced homelessness a couple times throughout our lives when I was young. And so she knows what she's talking about, and that's a big part of why she does this.
And the blankets, they're lovely, and they're also warm, fleecy kind of blankets, and each kid gets one.
Yes.
Penzies.
Yes. Penzies donated. So every time somebody buys a blanket, they donate one to us. We seem to be their favorite charity, and I don't know why we wouldn't be, but we're grateful.
And the Bombas socks, also very familiar with Bombas. They make a part of their business plan giving back to homeless people.
Yes, and we get Bombas socks. So every kid gets a blanket, Bombas socks. They're three wishes plus a few extras if we've got it. Right now we've got so many Beanie Babies, everybody's getting a Beanie Baby.
It's the 90s all over again.
Right.
Wait till the Cabbage Patch Kids start rolling out again. As far as the donations and gifts, do you take, you know, hand-me-downs, used items, or how? What can people do if they want to get involved?
Well, the toys we're going with new now, and the clothes, it really depends. Years ago, okay, I'm telling you some history. Long time ago, when I was in school, I was in third grade. We didn't have any money. My teacher realized I was wearing the same clothes over and over and over again. They were clean. My mom would wash them. But I was wearing the same clothes. She went out. She bought, at garage sales, a bunch of clothes for me. I take them home. She waited till everybody left the school to give them to me. Next day, I wore these new clothes, new to me anyways. I was really proud of it, having different clothes. And somebody recognized their own clothes, and I never heard the end of it.
That's hard.
Kiss, I mean, brutal.
Yeah, so coats will take gently used. You know, basically, if you would give this to your kid, we'll give it to our kids.
Yeah.
And how about volunteers? I know I just spent a short period of time, but it seemed like you had a lot of elves working that day.
We do. We always do. We've got 300 and some packages to deliver on Christmas Eve. And if people actually want to play Santa,
or
contact us.
Or an elf.
Right now, I think we're really good on wrapping, on picking. We're pretty solid. We've had a pretty steady stream. It's been working out. For such tight quarters, we've actually been working out pretty good.
What about money? You guys would still accept financial donations,
oh my God, yes.
I suspect.
So if we can't find the wish and somebody didn't sponsor the kid, we will go out and buy it. We want at least one of their wishes in there.
Santa's Without Chimneys, this will culminate on, what, Christmas Eve night?
Yeah, we start delivering Christmas Eve morning.
And what's that like?
A madhouse. I had a guy last year, he was a doctor, he came all the way from Mount Horeb, didn't have anything better to do, so he kept delivering until, I want to say, 1 o'clock at night. And then we realized there was another package that needed to be delivered. We did it at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
And the kids you do see, what's their reaction?
You know, the teenagers are teenagers, but the little kids, I remember, what was it, the third year we were going, imagine a big burly garbage man. I mean, you know, you seen the garbage men. They look mean. They're tough. He delivered. And he came back crying because the little boy said, I knew you would come. Everybody told me you wouldn't find me, but I knew you would come.
That's great. Santa's Without Chimneys, Chaos and Corey, if people want to get involved, if they want to find out more about your information, give a donation, volunteer, how could they find out more and do so?
Facebook, Santa's Without Chimneys on Facebook, and santaswithoutchimneys.org.
Santa Claus is real. Santa's Without Chimney. Thank you, Chaos and Corey, for everything you do. It's a hell of a job you do, and we certainly appreciate you coming around.
Thank you for having us.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Coming back, your calls, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North.
910 AM WBZA. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is.
In the breast
Breaking
milk
breast. Bucket. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank you for joining us. You can always join us on the lines at 844-967. 2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guests, fine ones, Corey Cronson and Chaos Riddle from Santa's Without Chimneys. It's the hardest radio I do all year.
I know, man. It is. I mean, what joy that organization brings to those kids. And you know, there's lots of places doing lots of wonderful things over the holidays, and this is one that if you're going to do something, check them out. It's a great job.
Santaswithoutchimneys.org. Give them money. That's the easiest thing. If you can afford to. I know it's your family's holidays as well. And they're having a fundraiser on the north side tomorrow night. My understanding, Chaos should have said something. But it's at the Byrock. Look it up at the Santaswithoutchimneys.org. I'll try to share something up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. But That's the one thing I care about.
I know, man. I know. You really appreciate things, man. You know, when you think about the effort that goes into us and with Chaos and Corey, you know, having been there, as Corey mentioned more than once, and having to, you know, go through those kinds of things, you know, it's one thing to do it, you know, have an adult and have to deal with adult decisions. It's an entirely different thing. Because as kids, you know, you don't have the choice to make. You know, the parents are, it's their circumstances, and you're just living in their world. So, you know, the kids are truly the ones that you know, don't have the input, but have to pay the price, as it were, quote unquote, to not have the quote unquote normal childhood. I mean, that's a tough thing. As mentioned, it's just the story with her, you know, getting those clothes from her teacher, and then having another student end up being one of theirs. You know, that, as mentioned, man, kids are brutal. It is very tough to grow up in this world as a child, because kids, you know, they don't know any better. They don't have a whole lot of empathy necessarily. And it's, you know, sometimes the mocking just rolls off the tongue. So donating money, some new products, some new blankets and clothes, certainly something you can do as well. But what a, you know, to take their time and their effort in order to try to make other people's lives better is what a wonderful thing. Should be done all year round.
And I would say Chaos is living this at this stage for life.
Oh, for sure.
This is her full-time gig. Anyways, great people. And then we got to turn back towards the horrible people, Dom.
You know, you think?
In light of the January 6th, Dom, and the fact that I got to lighten it up a bit, I want to talk about the newest person that is apparently going to get prosecuted for their actions on the January 6th.
Oh, you mean those great patriots that keep getting arrested and, you know, who the current Speaker of the House wants to blur their faces out when they eventually release all the video of that wonderful, patriotic, glorious day of January 6th?
Well, apparently Speaker Mike Johnson might have already gotten a phone alert sent to a 17-year-old son because this January 6th suspect unmasked was a pornography personality dumb named God Hypnotic.
What?
God Hypnotic. Let me read from the fine coverage. I found it at the Raw story.
I know you did.
The U.S. Department of Justice today revealed that it had discovered the identity of a suspected Capitol rioter who had seemingly evaded justice for nearly 3 years. In a new criminal complaint, the government alleges that Paul Kaloia. I'm just going to call him God Hypnotic by his porn name, a resident of Reesville, Michigan.
Roseville, man. I've been to the Ritz in Roseville. I think I saw Tesla there.
Well, you and the God Hypnotic, perhaps. This guy illegally entered the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021, and engaged in disorderly and disruptive contact on the restricted grounds. And while the charges against God Hypnotic are not extraordinary, his case is unique in the way the government went about identifying him, Dom. According to the complaint, federal officials first received a tip that God Hypnotic, when an informant notified them that an internet pornography personality who called himself God Hypnotic boasted in an online video about storming the Capitol. Witness one stated that as God Hypnotic was bragging about his involvement in the January 6th riots, another individual in the chat asked God Hypnotic why he went to the Capitol. The complaint states, at that point, witness one said that God Hypnotic backtracked and said he went to the Capitol for reporting purposes. Oh, wow. Was he hanging with Derek Van Orden? Were they scouting locations for the next porn?
You know, working in the media is tough, so maybe the God Hypnotic is the secondary choice of a job.
Dom, law enforcement officials would subsequently obtain location data from God Hypnotic's mobile phone number and determine that it was the United States Capitol on January 6th between the hours of 1 p.m. Eastern Time and 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's some tantric insurrection, Dom.
That's a lot of reporting.
From there, they worked to identify God Hypnotic as a frequently masked pro-Trump demonstrator who was wearing a red Detroit Red Wings hat and a white mask with ties with strings around the back of his head during the riots. But he blew it, Dom. Surveillance footage from inside the Capitol also caught God Hypnotic in some instances with his mask off.
Oh, no, man.
You got to keep the Jimmy on the whole time, which helped confirm his identity. Brought God to you by Hypnotic. The Raw story, one of my favorite sources.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that, Michael. Wow. Way to go. Representing Roseville, baby, outside of Detroit.
Trying to be a low-key porn star. keep her on the lowdown. You know, when you go on the porn chat channels and you start bragging about crimes you've committed, maybe you deserve what you get. Just saying. It's not the lifestyle choices. It's not the pornography that bothers me so much.
Maybe he's got a lot.
He's a star, Dom. He's a bright, shining star. Bright,
shiny star. Indeed he is. And he's another what? Is he convicted? What's the deal? What was the reporting?
Well, he's just been picked up. He's been charged now.
He's been charged. I mean, all this time later, what are we going on, 2 years?
3 years.
Still picked? 3 years.
3 years. He was
still picking him up.
A fugitive from justice. Hiding out in the porn chat rooms, Dom, just like you do. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. We'll talk about Speaker Mike Johnson and the real reason to impeach President Joe Biden. You know, so they can find out if there's any reason to impeach the man.
Exactly.
It's a happier happy hour, the Tuesday edition. Stick around.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.